Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon and you are tuned to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. Anything you might need at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and Sideshow.com. And my company today is
Manoj Malde, a designer of the Inland Homes PLC beneath the Mexican Sky Garden at the Chelsea Flower Show.
Manoj, explain to me the garden that was Chelsea 2017 for those of you not aware, because it's a kind of a visual thing. Press that middle button in your iPhone, go to Twitter or Instagram or one of those, take a scroll down through the Sideshow or just send me a note on Facebook or Twitter and I'll put you directly in touch with Manoj. It is absolutely stunning. And I think to quote Tanya, who's doing the PR, which is she said to me, oh, just turn left at the top of Main Avenue, come up. She said, you can't miss it. It's the brightest garden on that stretch. And it is, but normally bright would, insinuate or suggest that it stood out for attention-seeking sometimes reasons. Yours isn't that. It's very beautiful. It is all of the things in all of the right places. And for all of the reasons it stands out, I can't put my finger on it, but there's nothing out of place in the fact that it does stand out. Is that a fair way to call it?
That's an absolute fair way to call it. When I started designing the garden, balance was really important because working with colour can be risky, and I think in this country, because we live in a cold climate, we're scared of colour as well. So I just want to show the visitors that actually we don't need to be scared of colour. So long as you get the balances of colour right, then it is possible to use colour in this country. Experiment. Don't kind of shy away from colour. We always go for very muted, dull tones. Why can't we use brighter tones in this country? I think it would brighten gardens up and it would brighten people's lives up a little bit. At the moment, all we hear is really sad news when we turn the TV on or we read the newspaper. Actually, let's make life a little bit happier. And this is what it's about.
At a point, and again, let me go to designing and building gardens. Number one, if I take Andrew Wilson and Gavin McWilliam, who are former guests of the show, who have been on, their planting was absolutely stunning. No question about it. However, it is polar opposites. I'm sure that's not geographically, technically correct, but nonetheless, bear with me. Polar opposites to the planting style, by definition, of the selection of plants that you chose to use. And I've got plants, and I'm looking at plants in your garden that I have not seen since I was in Wisley in a certain section where they have nothing, but I think I refer to it as a place where if I was five, my action men would go running through it as if they were, you know, in a desert. The cacti are 5 foot tall. It's out of this world. I haven't seen, there's plants here that I haven't seen since I was in South Africa in the botanic gardens out there. Why, and number one, and number two, was that a little bit of playing a dangerous game, inverted commas, at Chelsea Flower Show 2017, the biggest stage in the world?
It was a risk, yes, absolutely. And, you know, the garden is based on Luis Barragan. He's a Mexican architect who used to do phenomenal buildings with beautiful colour-washed walls. And when I started reading about his life, Barragan had really struggled to be recognized as a professional architect. I wanted the planting scheme to somewhat represent that. So we have got the agaves and the cacti that were, you know, they grow in harsh environments, they grow in drought tolerant areas, or rather dry areas. And, you know, that kind of reflects somewhat of his struggle in life, because these plants will struggle to a certain degree, but they have to cope with those conditions. And that's exactly what Barragan did. Barragan coped and came out on top, and eventually, towards the end of his life, succeeded in becoming a recognized architect, and now he's incredibly influential on the architectural world. Part of this whole process was also, I've had so many people say to me, oh, I go to Chelsea every year and I see the same old planting schemes through the gardens. And that kind of made me think, well, okay, fine. So let's try and give something different to Chelsea this year. And henceforth, I've created a garden that is full of architectural plants, but then softened with a real lovely, soft herbaceous planting scheme, and it can work. You know, it does work. So I wanted to present the public with something different at Chelsea, colour and a new planting palette.
Well, let's skip past the planting then, just ever so slightly, because in your water you did it with the. If you've ever been to somewhere like the Dominican Republic and you look into the water and it is that as you close your eyes and as you see it, that kind of sky. Sea greeny kind of blue, which you know pure to the absolute everlast. In show gardens, most of the water is always dyed black for very good reason, because it hides for the greater part all of the infidelities. You didn't do that either. You left the water clear and you left the bottom as that kind of turquoise sea green as I would know it. On every angle I look here, the bright colors as the backdrop, the planting, the water, every single level of it, you've kind of not gone with any form of comfort zone at all. Is that a fair way to call that?
It is a fair way to call that. And I guess in some respects, because this is my first garden at the Chelsea Flower Show, I've actually come with it with kind of no expectations, but also with a very fresh mind. And so, you know, I'm not scared of colour. At the end of the day, look, I have an Indian ancestry. I was born in Kenya. I've been surrounded by women wearing beautiful saris. I've been surrounded by Kenyan tribes with beautiful colours. My upbringing has been full of colour, and that subconsciously comes out within this garden. And that's kind of what attracted me to Louis Barragán's work. And actually, within Louis Barragán's work, and he was absolutely obsessed with horses. He used to have an equestrian centre where he had a beautiful, large aquamarine pool, which the horses used to step into at the end of the day to cool down. And henceforth, that's why I've got this huge pool of water here. Aquamarine colour. I've got the beautiful sculpture in aged copper by Rupert Till, which is of a horse, and that brings the spirit of a horse into the garden. And it works really beautifully, and it's the balance between the colours that work in this garden really, really well. And again, why be scared of colour? And why always dye water black? I mean, look at the shadows that are being created by the plants up above into the water, the silhouettes that you can see, the way the agave americanas reflect in the water. Why lose all of that? Yes, when the water's dyed black and you can see the clouds, that is beautiful, but there are other ways to enhance a garden, and you can use clear water in a garden.
Well, you can, and you can do it extremely well, but in the how do we best achieve, let's say, medal and woo to the judges, there is a, without being disrespectful, but there is a bit of a formula to that. And when you play the danger game, I'll say the danger game, when you tread a little bit to the far side of the road a little bit, you either do John Travolta with the flares on and the high-heeled men's shoes and you wear them like you know you should, or you don't. And you need that bit of confidence in yourself. And I mean like a Conor McGregor kind of a confidence that there is no deviation from this. This is what I'm doing. This is how it's going to work out. And if you don't like it, that's absolutely fine. They serve profiteroles over there. Off you go. But when you walk that walk like you know you should, and you pull it off, and then that's a little bit different. Is that a fair way to put that?
Yes. Maybe I'm the Alexandra McQueen of the gardening world. Maybe that's what it's about. I think, as I said before, because I haven't done my own garden at Chelsea before, I've come in to this with something that I want to produce. It's not necessarily about pleasing the judges. It's my garden at the end of the day, and therefore I'm going to design it the way I want. And I didn't want it to be Chelsea formulaic. And when designers maybe have done quite a few gardens at Chelsea, and they know that there is a way to gain those points from the judges. Maybe they're a little bit in danger of becoming formulaic. So I don't have that because it's my first garden. So I don't have the experience of necessarily doing my own garden at Chelsea before. So that's kind of slightly giving me a freer hand. Yes, I've worked with other designers who have produced Chelsea gardens, but never done one on my own. And I think that's a good thing because it's actually kept my mind quite free to be able to do what I want. And I've kind of really come from more of an angle of pleasing the public and what they will find interesting and what they will be wowed by, more than thinking about the judging, the medals, all of that. To be honest, I haven't actually thought about any of that. I've designed the garden. I love the garden that I designed, and that's what I submitted.
There's a common denominator, though, because we had Ian Price on the show, who is designing, has designed, my apologies, at Chelsea 2017, a first-timer here. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Harris, the Royal Bank of Canada garden, yeah. Also first-timer here on Main Avenue. And the trio, albeit the gardens are extremely, and I could not have picked three gardens that are so far apart from each other in how they are built, the planting choice, the strategy behind it. Nothing is in any way remotely similar at all, number one. But all of you seem to have, I'm hesitant to say innocence, but there's a cockiness. Not a bad cocky. There's a good cockiness there, a bit of confidence. But it's greater than a confidence, and it leans towards that point before it actually tips over the edge for the greater. It's a very endearing trait where I speak to people who sound like they know what they are at. And you can't really judge one's ability until you've actually seen it proven. You all have it. You all know it. You've all done it. And I've seen all three gardens at Chelsea 2017. And I'm turning around going, it's just one after the other after the other. And you're now at that level walking. And again, there's two little people in my head. I don't know about yours, but there's two in mine. Mm-hmm. And one turns around and says, I know I can do this. And the other fella says, we've just done it. And then one starts crying and one starts laughing at the other fella crying. How does that sit with you? And do you have those voices in your head that turn around and go, tweak it another little bit, or you've done it, or patting it back, or we need to ring somebody and do a Jerry Maguire crying moment down the telephone? Do you identify with those little things?
I think I probably identify with all three of those at different moments through this journey. I've done the crying. I've done the confidence bit that, yes, it's absolutely spot on, it works. I think Chelsea, doing a garden at Chelsea, takes you through a really rocky journey. It's like a roller coaster, and you will go through all those different emotions. So anyone who is looking at doing a garden at Chelsea, I would say get ready for the ride. But actually, never forget that you've got to enjoy that ride. And that's really important. And when I started on this journey, I said to myself, whatever happens, I'm going to enjoy this ride. And I have. I really have.
Well, you say that, but I spoke to somebody last week and they said, if you ever want to create a marriage breakup, go and build a garden at Chelsea. I understand what that is and what that reference is. And I know it was slightly in jest. But at the same token, I think both of us kind of laughed and then kind of went, actually, that's a fair point. Is that far off the mark?
No, it's not far off the mark. No, it's not far off the mark at all. You've got it absolutely spot on. But what I was very clever in doing, because my partner Clive actually said to me, would you like me to come and help to build your garden at Chelsea? And I said, absolutely not. There's no way that you're coming onto the grounds at Chelsea to come and help on the garden, because what I need is some sense of sanity when I get home. And also, if something goes wrong through the build, he'd probably be the first one to get it in the neck. So I said, absolutely not. Please stay at home. Do your work, and I want to be able to come home and be able to tell you what we've done on the garden, that day. And actually, that was a very sensible thing to do, because when you're building the garden, it is pressurized. It is seriously pressurized. It's long days. You're tired. When it rains, you're soaked through. The site is dangerous. As the designer, you're having to keep everyone happy, yet make sure that the work is getting done. You're trying to keep an eye on the whole build process, the finishings. The pressure is immense. I can't tell you how hard it is to actually go through this. You always need that person who you can actually go to and who will ground you. And that's exactly what Clive did for me. He grounded me when I get home and said, you know, how did it go today? What did you do? And I used to show him pictures. And that kind of brought me down to earth a little bit and relaxed me. And so I'm glad I made that decision not to have Clive on the grounds, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, I'm gonna nod my head in approval here, but this is radio, so you can't see that happening. But yeah, I think it was safer Clive stayed at home, and I think it was better. I think you need, and all jest aside, I think you need to have different experiences during your day. When the pressure cooker is on, it needs to be on one set of shoulders, so that when you go home, that pressure can be eased. Somebody can pull that valve, and the next day becomes a new day. But in all designers that I've spoke to, in particular at Chelsea, but equally those who, whether it's Tatton or Hampton, or there is entire moments of insanity, a beauty, tears and laughter. And those who don't separate what is home and work are usually the ones that I find have the more difficult journey. It's not the build process. You can have the greatest contractor in the world, but if you don't have a peace of mind at home, it doesn't really click. And there are gardens that I built that are the best gardens in the world, but I don't like them because at that moment in time I was going through something at home that...
Absolutely.
It's like listening to I don't know, Romeo and Juliet, Dire Straits, and you hear that song and you're going, oh, I remember... Geez, your woman that I was going out with, oh, horrible girl altogether. I mean, she used to wear these shoes. And your mate's going, oh, not this again. Every time he hears that song. And obviously, that's not me I'm referring to. That's somebody else, but they don't know that either. You had a really good contractor on this build.
I had an amazing contractor, Tequin Evans from Living Landscapes. The most organized bloke I have ever come across. Tequin was actually in the army, so he's obviously got that real army discipline. He and his team have really embraced the design of this garden and made my vision come alive. It was fantastic. I mean, he really became part of my team. Team Minaj was made up of the most amazing people. Tequin had schedules. He kept me posted every single day. Every single day he used to give me a call to give me an update on things. We've sat in meetings after meetings after meetings. He's explained to me things about the build, and actually when I haven't understood and I've just gone, sorry, thick monkey here, can you explain it again? Patience of a saint. He'll go through it again until I absolutely get what he's going to do. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Couldn't recommend him more.
The first garden I saw Tech building, or garden that he built, was Sherry Carman's in Hampton Court Palace Flower Show last year, former guest of the show in brackets. But that I remember, his build was essentially, as to quote Sherry, we were the bathtub on the wettest build in the history of Hampton. So when I heard he was building yours, to flip this back around, number one, I heard about your garden through Tanya and Rosie Harkness. Mm-hmm. When I heard about it, I was kind of going, that's dangerous. That's first timer. Oh, jeepers, does he? And then I heard that Tech was on board. And then I kind of went, he's got no issues. As a designer, you'll have the issue of wanting it to be perfect as regards to build. There's sometimes the breakdown between the information that comes out of your head and transfers to the contractor can often be misinterpreted and misconstrued. I gather, because I know his work, that he didn't, or ye as a duo, a couple, didn't have that. what were the difficulties that you hit along this build? I can say first time at Chelsea till the cows come home, but building a garden is building a garden. The only thing that's greater at Chelsea are the pressures that you strive to put yourself under, because you're more than aware it's the Champions League final as versus an FA Cup final, to use a bad football analogy, but a football analogy nonetheless. Is that a fair way to surmise that?
Yeah, it is. It is. And as you say, you know, the thing is, it's really important that you have somebody on board that, and your contractor is really important. There has got to be absolute trust between you two. You should be able to say anything to each other. And, you know, if there are issues, find solutions. And Tekwin is absolutely great at that. You know, he read my design, absolutely spot on. But the main thing for me was, and this is how I test people with design, if their reaction is, oh yeah, nice design, yeah, fine, that's not the contractor I want. Tekwin was blown away when I showed him my first sketch, and I didn't even have to say anything. I put an A4 piece of paper down on the table with the drawing, and he just turned around and he said, now that I want to build for you. And to me, that was the start of a great partnership.
Well, on one hand, I can turn around and go, well, Tekwin has done essentially a basement patioed, the most difficult build that I've ever seen done in my life. Not really, but yeah, when you take into consideration the conditions that they had to go through, and this is outside, not in your home installing a fireplace, to be, you know, ridiculous about it. On one hand, he's gone from doing a difficult build to a very, very different build. What's your next step as a designer? Because again, highest stage, greatest stage, grandest stage that exists, number one, Chelsea Flower Show, your first time here, number two. But number three, the next time you come back, which I have a funny feeling that you will, you, Ian Price, Charlotte Harris, it's like as if, as discussed with Andrew Wilson and Gavin McWilliam, when that bug draws you in, it's like being in love. You know there's going to be pain involved. You know there's going to be heartache and breakup and all of those things that are, to an extent, negative, but you just want more of it. When you come back, it can't be, oh, that's the style of planting that he did the last time. Have you already got one in mind? Is it in the back of your head? I know you're not going to tell me, but is it there, and is it entirely different again?
Well, let's just say, yes, I've caught the bug. And there are a couple of designers here who are here for the first time, and they said never again, but I will be back. If I find a sponsor who would love to be here with me creating a garden at the Chelsea Flower Show, that would be fantastic. You're right in saying, no, I'm not going to tell you what I've got in my mind for the next one. I do have something. It will, of course, depend on what the sponsor wants as well. With Inland Homes, it was fantastic because they gave me a free hand. They said, look, you are the specialist in designing gardens. We're not. We're a property developer. We build buildings. And they gave me a free hand, which was fantastic. They put their trust in me with this garden. And I hope that the next sponsor will be able to do the same. But, you know, if they don't, then I have to work with it. I have got some ideas, but I'm not going to tell you.
I'll get them off the record and I'll leave the microphone on. No, I'm joking. Okay, let's go a slight bit different one. And you mentioned it there, sponsor. And I know sometimes sponsors can be mentioned like as if you're at a Gaelic football club, kind of, no disrespect, lads, but you know what I'm saying, the bingo down the local pub kind of thing. And you thank, you know, Jimmy's thing for sponsoring the spot prizes or whatever it might be. Building gardens at Chelsea, it's an entirely different ballpark. And whether it's Royal Bank of Canada, whether it's ID Verde with Ian Price, the relationship with them is as important as the relationship with your contractor. How did that go? How did they come on board? And again, I know there's a lot of the people who are listening to this, the Sherry Carmens of this world. I mean, the list goes on of the amount of people who've been on the Sideshow who are first or new, not specifically to Chelsea, but new to gardens. And the question that always strikes me, and it's the ultimate one, all the greatest ideas in the world, if you don't have the contact book or you don't have the person approach
you,
you've got no garden built at all. So it is not to be put to one side, I suppose.
No. And you know, that's the thing. You know, as a first-timer to Chelsea, it was really difficult to find a sponsor. I spent a small fortune sending out information packages about Chelsea, about me as a designer, about what I wanted to do at Chelsea, and the opportunities that a corporate sponsor can have with this particular show. I got four answers back, and all four said no. Luckily, I had a fantastic contractor on board. I had an amazing nursery on board. Inland Homes happened to be one of my clients. I've done a fair bit of work with them. And I just happened to be talking to them and said, you know, I this is what I'd like to do. And it's a great opportunity for a company to put their brand name out there. You know, 200,000 paying visitors, international visitors. And they turned around and said, Minaj, why don't you put the figures together and submit them to us? So that's what I did.
And you said, why didn't you tell me this 3 months ago? I wouldn't have to put out all those information packages. well, kind of.
They looked at the figures and they came back to me and said, this is doable. We can do this. So that's where my kind of journey with them began. And then obviously when I submitted my submission to the RHS to do this garden, I had my contractor, my nursery, and my sponsor on board. And I was absolutely delighted because there's no way that I would have gone through the submission had I not had a sponsor on board, only to then not find a sponsor and then having to pull out of Chelsea. Once you're granted a space, I would not cope with that. I wouldn't want to cope with that. So it was really important for me to get that sponsor engaged before the submission happened. And actually it happened pretty much close to the end where we were drawing nearer to that deadline, but I did it. And, you know, thanks to Inland Homes, I've got a garden at Chelsea.
Okay, listen, for those of you on the road, if you're walking, if you're on the tube, if you're on the Dart, if you're in Ireland, that is the overground equivalent of a tube, but it's above ground, and you need any of this information, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/The Sideshow, just drop us a note. We'll put you directly in touch with Minaj. Make no bones about it. The garden, it jumps out, but it jumps for the right reasons. It's a difficult balance to get right, but it's also hugely important. To Tim Hell, who I met at this garden whilst I was here, an absolute pleasure. Shout out to Tim and the good lady who has been awarded the gold RHS medal for putting up with Tim. And we leave that one directly to one side, all said in the very nicest way possible. In the meantime, Minaj, thank you so much. It's been a genuine pleasure. Congratulations.